Okay.
Okay, the recording has been started.
Great, thanks. Greetings, everyone on the phone. This is Brian Cute, ATRT2 meeting of November 1st. The purpose of today's meeting is to meet with One World Trust. One World Trust has been engaged by ICANN recently to advise on the development of metrics as it would pertain to review team recommendations. The review team was very interested in having a discussion with One World Trust as ATRT2 will be introducing in its report a treatment of metrics from its point of view. So to have a full open discussion and to inform each other's views, that's the purpose of this call. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Christina Laybourne from One World Trust to open up the presentation, and then hopefully we have an hour and a half, and then move toward a good open discussion and some Q&A. So with that, Christina.
Thank you very much, Brian. And thank you, everybody who's been able to join me today. I really appreciate the opportunity to tell you where we're at with our work, but then also get the opportunity for your input. I think that's very important given the work you've been doing over the past year for ICANN. Firstly to say that I'm also joined by Professor Jan Ottschult, who's working on this project with me as well. Jan, can you say hello?
I can say hello.
Hello, Jan.
I'm absolutely fine. If I sound a little bit dazed, I'm joining you from Moscow, and so I'm finishing my day as you start yours.
Great. And just to let you know that there's another researcher, Manija Kamal, who also works with me, but is unfortunately not able to join us today. What I'm going to do is provide you with an overview of our work so far and some kind of key themes that have emerged from my research and interviews. But I'm going to start by providing you with an overview of the One World Trust's approach to accountability, and particularly to the measurement of accountability and what that can look like. Brian thought that this might be a very helpful starting point, and certainly clarity can be very useful. And then at the end, we'll kind of open up for discussion around particular questions, and if you have any questions for me, I'll be happy to answer them then. So apologies if you've heard this from me before, either in previous presentation or in my conversation with you, but I just wanted to clarify what the One World Trust at least means when we talk about accountability. The definition that we use is that accountability is the process through which an organization actively creates and formally structured balanced relationships with its diverse stakeholders, empowering those to hold it to account over its decisions, activities, and impact, with a view to continuously improving the organization's delivery against its mission. This definition is the one that we use, but you will find it quite common approach, this stakeholder-focused approach to accountability amongst other non-profit organizations. And from this definition, we draw out four key accountability principles that are necessary in order to achieve this perspective on accountability. And they are transparency, participation, both of internal and external stakeholders, and within the kind of internal stakeholders, we include board governance. Then evaluation, and also mechanisms for receiving and responding to complaints. Now, around those four accountability principles, the One World Trust also adds accountability strategy, so how an organization defines what accountability is and who it should be accountable to. We've added that following our experience working with many organizations on their accountability policies, and which has really led us to the conclusion that in order to be effective, an organization must have a clear idea of what it should be doing and who it should be accountable to.
So
as I said, the perspective we take is one of stakeholder accountability, how an organization such as ICANN is accountable to its different stakeholder groups and, where appropriate, how they are also accountable to ICANN. And so we have some of the groups that we might consider stakeholders of ICANN on this slide. I think one of the things that is important to note within ICANN's structure is perhaps the distinction between those stakeholders who are engaged through formal mechanisms such as the supporting organisations or advisory committees, and those who are not included within those formal mechanisms but still are impacted by the work that ICANN does, and they can overlap quite often. To provide an example, we would consider that ICANN is accountable to your average person who turns on a computer and uses the internet, although you could also argue that they're also accountable to those who do not yet have internet access but might be wanting it or requiring it. So the net can be cast quite broadly. The other thing that I would add there is that this is not to say that ICANN or any other organization needs to be accountable to all of these stakeholders at an equal level. There's a degree of prioritization that obviously needs to go on, and it's just a matter of the organization being transparent and open about how it has made those decisions and why it has made those decisions to prioritize certain groups. So I'd like to talk a bit about the One World Trust's approach to measuring accountability. We've got quite an extensive history of working with international non-profit organisations and also intergovernmental organisations to develop accountability frameworks for them to measure their current accountability and also to strategically improve it. And that has given us some quite interesting insights, I think, over the course of the years. Because accountability is really such a normative concept, it's widely recognised that it's very challenging to measure whether an organisation is successfully being accountable. Recently, we're seeing efforts in the humanitarian sector to try and actually measure the impact of accountability mechanisms. But they're really beset with difficulties, it has to be said. They're fully aware of that as well. It's challenging to demonstrate causality. There are issues of circularity as well going on. But there are some ways in which you can try and get an indication of an organization's accountability to its stakeholders. Because of the challenges of measuring accountability, most accountability frameworks tend to stay pretty high level. They look for policies that commit an organization to an accountability standard, for example, looking for a document disclosure policy or a mechanism that demonstrates an accountability commitment is in process, like a complaints handling mechanism or a whistleblower's policy. But it should be noted, I'm sure you will all recognize, that the presence of policies and processes doesn't necessarily tell you whether they're actually working. So quite a few frameworks then go to the next step and look for evidence of application. Some, for example, will conduct desk or field visits to look for hard evidence of the accountability mechanisms in operation. This is perhaps where metrics might come in terms of measuring evidence of accountability. But what we at the One World Trust have noticed is that this can really never be comprehensive for more than a small organisation without vast expense and unrealistic levels of research going on. And the other thing is that that doesn't tell you really anything about the effectiveness or the quality of the mechanisms that are in question. So the One World Trust Global Accountability Framework goes a step further, and this is building on, as I said, the extensive work that we've done with international organisations in the past. What we do is we look at how an organisation internally assesses the accountability mechanism through quality management systems. And the thought behind that is that if quality management systems provide an organisation with regular data that can be used to monitor the outputs of the accountability mechanism and identify any problems, so that they can be rectified, that in itself will drive improvement. That's obviously not guaranteed, but it can be an indicator of it. And obviously this will be heightened if the results of these quality management systems are made public, because then the drive to identify issues and to improve upon them will be greater. So our proposition within the Global Accountability Framework is that you can use the presence of these quality management systems as a proxy for the quality of an organization's accountability. And this is something that I would like to propose as one approach that we can use within the development of the accountability benchmarks for ICANN. As I said, the challenge, I think, will be how to find metrics for these quality management systems. I think it will be a good approach to benchmarking against other organizations and also to driving ICANN to greater internal improvement. But my suspicion, which I perhaps need to test out a bit, is that the metrics will actually be needing to measure the practicalities of ICANN's work. But again, I think that's a good question to put to yourselves as part of ACRT too. So moving on then to what activities we're currently undertaking. We're about halfway through our work for ICANN at the moment. We're due to submit our draft metrics and benchmarks along with the implementation plan the week before Christmas, so that's where our focus is. I began by conducting a very preliminary review of ICANN's accountability policies to provide me with some oversight of where ICANN is, although I have to say, as my time's gone on, I've really realised that a lot more exists in practice than it does in policy, which is a fair and a good thing, probably, I think. The next task that we have completed is to analyse four non-profit standard-setting initiatives in order to look at what their definitions of accountability are and also what principles they identify as being key to achieving accountability to stakeholders. And that's in order to guide the development of the benchmarks so that they're in line with peer expectations of international non-profit organisations. My colleague Manija is currently working on case studies of three other multi-stakeholder non-profit organisations in order to identify what their approach to accountability is, with a view to extracting learning and lessons for ICANN and also to guide our development of the metrics and benchmarks. At the same time, I'm now in the middle of my interviews with key ICANN staff and stakeholders, some of whom are yourselves, I've already had the opportunity to speak to. My interviews have really had two objectives. One is to get more of a sense of where ICANN's current accountability strengths and challenges lie, but then also to explore what the metrics and benchmarks should be measuring and how they can be supporting ICANN towards greater improvement and how they can most effectively be demonstrating to their stakeholders ICANN's improvement of accountability. Once I've finished that process, what remains is to build on my preliminary review of ICANN's accountability with a qualitative analysis and suggestions for improvement. What I will hasten to say is that this will not be as in-depth as the one World Trust previously conducted for ICANN in 2007, simply because it is not the full focus of this consultancy. But when I was talking about the design of this consultancy project with Larissa, it was clear that in the course of our research we were going to be gaining some quite useful insights into ICANN, and so it made sense for us to be providing our perspective on ICANN's accountability and also recommendations where we thought ICANN might improve. We're then going to be taking the outputs of all of the above activities and building on them to develop a draft set of accountability benchmarks and accountability metrics. And that will be accompanied by a proposed implementation plan talking about how benchmarks and metrics should be piloted, consulted on, and then how they can be operationalized over the next few years, and that will include consideration of the need for revisions and so forth as ICANN moves forwards. And as I said, the goal is to complete this, I think it's just the week before Christmas, and there will be an opportunity for ICANN staff to review what we've put forward and then feedback to us before we can finally submit in December. I wanted to provide you with some of the kind of initial findings that are coming out of my work. I'm sure that these are not going to be... let me put it this way. I'm sure these will be familiar to you as members of ATRT too. I wouldn't expect that there are any particular surprises concerning ICANN's accountability. What I've heard is that across staff and stakeholders, there is a very broad commitment and enthusiasm for ICANN as being an accountable organisation, but there are notable differences about what accountability actually is and who it should be to, and also what I should add here is what is the purpose of being accountable. However, there is agreement that accountability needs to go beyond mere transparency. So just uploading extensive amounts of documents on the website isn't quite sufficient for ICANN to be truly accountable to its stakeholders. I've also heard about the admirable improvements that have been recently made towards widening stakeholder engagement around the world and ensuring that stakeholders in perhaps previously underrepresented areas are now being reached out to and brought in so that they can also contribute to ICANN, which is a very important step. That said, we have heard concerns about ICANN's accountability, two in particular have focused around how staff and stakeholders contribute to policy decisions, and particularly the role of the GAC. Again, I'm sure that will come as no surprise to you. And then another other concerns which have focused around the functionality of ICANN's various complaints mechanisms. There are obviously four different complaints mechanisms that ICANN engages, but there are concerns both about the scope that they have, the challenges with engagement, and also the weight that the complaints mechanisms have to respond adequately to complaints. In terms of what the metrics and benchmarks might look like and what their functions might be, some of the thoughts that we're initially having, building on the results of the interviews, I think firstly there's a large emphasis on the fact that they need to be simple, easy to communicate, and also not overburdensome on staff. One of my real goals as the consultant engaged to do this is to ensure that what we create and present to ICANN fulfills its objectives, to do that it needs to be successful. There is no point us proposing something very complicated, very burdensome, that just then gets put on a shelf because it simply cannot be implemented or stakeholders cannot engage with it. We're also hearing that the benchmarks will allow comparison with other organisations, certainly, but my idea is that they will also drive ICANN's improvement. As I said, I think one of the key ways they can do this is by looking for publicised quality management systems. So what we're thinking of then is that there will be overarching benchmarks, allowing comparison, but then within these will sit a handful of metrics, perhaps 10 to 12, which measure key aspects of ICANN's work in order to broadly track ICANN's accountability improvements over time. There will be challenges identifying what these metrics will be. Certainly, I think some are very obvious, some it will be harder to find the right metrics to measure different aspects of accountability within ICANN. But at the moment, we're thinking that these metrics might include existing metrics that are being gathered from across the organization through processes like the dashboard. There's often things within that that we can build upon or kind of reference and pull up. As I said, one of my goals is not to be overburdensome on staff, and so to use what is already out there where appropriate. I think that said, there will be some areas where we're needing to recommend that new analysis is undertaken in order to fulfil certain metrics. And then the other aspect that we are currently thinking over that the metrics might involve is perhaps a type of annual stakeholder survey asking about stakeholders' perception of accountability. And the idea is here to bring in their perspectives on particular issues and that they will be they will complement the kind of internal organisational measurements that are being undertaken. And so what I would now like to do is to put some questions to yourself. You're very welcome to ask me questions about what I've just told you. But I also would really like to take this opportunity to prod you a little further about these four questions. So firstly, what is the real purpose and benefit to ICANN of using these metrics and benchmarks, and what was in ATRT's mind when that was recommended? What do you think the goal should be? Please identify to me if there are any key aspects of ICANN's work that you think in particular metrics need to focus on. And then maybe some questions about what the metrics and benchmarks need to achieve in order to successfully measure ICANN's accountability, and how we can communicate ICANN's progress to the stakeholders against the metrics and benchmarks. If you have any thoughts around how that could be done effectively, it would be great to hear them. Perhaps it would be a good opportunity, though, to start by asking if there are any questions about the presentation I just made, and then we can move on more specifically to questions being put to ATRT2.
Sure. Thanks very much, Christina. This is Brian. Let me give you a little bit of a view from the review team, a reaction or two to the presentation, speaking for myself, and then I'd like to open it up to the review team members to address some of the questions you've posed here or provide other views. Also, David, just so you know and you're probably aware, I don't see you online, so I can't see your hand, but if you want to get in the queue, just raise your voice and we'll get you in there. A couple of thoughts to start off and frame. In terms of metrics, this review team has observed that since metrics were not really implemented in a full or meaningful way during the course of implementation of ATRT1 recommendations, that it's difficult for this review team to measure. Certainly we can see tasks that have been completed and things that have been done, but getting to the important aspect of measuring progress and effective implementation of recommendations is a key part of this from the review team's perspective and anything that we recommend out of our report. The other thing that I would observe was, and I'm, because there are certain sensitivities in the community, well-founded or not, and that's kind of what we have to get to, is the well-founded or not, and that's where metrics can help provide information and data that, if properly structured, can signal and communicate to the community how well is the organization doing. But the point that was made in an earlier slide, that metrics not be overburdensome to the staff, let me offer these thoughts. This review team, in building its recommendations, has been actively discussing with the staff and with Steve Crocker, who is the chairman of the board and who's a member of the review team, the importance that the recommendations that are offered not overburden the staff or the organization, and that in implementing recommendations, we are conscious that that requires resources, time, human resources, money, legal analysis, other things of that nature, and that we are going to endeavor consciously to get feedback from the staff before we finalize our recommendations to understand what the burden is that is imposed by implementation of a recommendation. I was curious to the phrase that the metrics not overburden the staff. I'd like you to kind of explain that a little bit, because we view implementation of a recommendation and the burden there seriously and are trying to address that. I'm not quite sure what you mean by a metric overburdening the staff. Could you explain that a bit, and then I'll open it up to the rest of the team?
Sure, Steve. Thank you. I think the I have heard some concerns from staff when I speak to them that, oh gosh, this is another set of metrics. I think their concerns are that we're going to send them off and they're going to have to, you know, start trawling out data and analyzing data in order to put it in order to provide evidence against a whole raft of metrics. I have to say, when I was talking to the staff and describing that, you know, we were talking about maybe 10 to 12 metrics, and also that some of those would be things that are already being measured by the organization, there was a kind of sense of relief and appreciation that that was the case. I think there might have been a fear that I was going to present them with 72 brand new data points that they were going to have to find evidence for. So that's what I was implying by overburdensome.
Okay, so that was a reflection of a staff observation.
Yes, it was.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
no, go ahead, please.
I very much appreciate, you know, that the metrics need to be driving forwards ICANN's accountability to stakeholders, but it does need to be able to be implemented effectively by staff. So it is important to recognise the amount of work that might be required by them.
Okay. And I just to remind me, Lisa Allen-Avery, I do want to get to the question of the timing on the calendar of One World Trust report and making sure that our work streams are synced sufficiently to inform our report. So don't let me get off the call without coming back to that. But Alan, if you would, your hand is up.
Thank you. You first asked for any questions about what you've done so far. I do have some comments on your overall questions, but in terms of clarifications, you mentioned that there are four types of complaint mechanisms. And to make sure we're not talking at odds, could you identify what the four are?
Yes, sure. I probably should have done that in my presentation. So the four that I've identified would be the reconsideration request procedure, the independent review panel, the ombudsman, and then the staff whistleblower policy.
Okay, we will have a discontinuity on that,
okay.
when you get to general questions.
Do you want to lay out the discontinuity, Alan? Yeah, please.
Those are the complaint mechanisms with regard to transparency. One of the questions you asked is why do we care about transparency, and one of the suggested answers was levels of customer service. And there's a host of, and probably increasing greatly over the next couple of years, a number of other customer service complaint mechanisms, which are a source of great problems, or viewed as great problems, and metrics on those are one of the things that I would view as very important, and metrics which are meaningful. Not just the mechanisms, the complaint mechanisms related to transparency, but the complaint mechanisms related to the business we're in, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think
is that in relation to, for example, the compliance?
Compliance is certainly one of them, and probably the largest one. There are others which relate to compliance, but maybe a slightly different perspectives. And with the new GTLDs that are being launched, there's a whole new process that's being developed, which is going to be potentially burdensome, potentially very controversial, and it's going to be really important to be able to demonstrate to the community that this has been done properly. I mean, there's always going to be dissatisfied customers. That's the world we live in. But, you know, in answer to your overall questions, my answer to the first question is, why do we care, is credibility. And that comes right back into the customer service complaint mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you want to respond, Christina, or take other inputs?
I'd like to take some other questions, perhaps, and then I can maybe respond collectively.
Sure. Anybody else? I'm not seeing any hands up. David or anyone else who's not online?
Yeah, this is David. Sorry, I'm in a place with some challenging network connectivity issues. I guess one of the key considerations that I have is that we establish baselines of performance in the accountability realm and then are able to measure those over time to see whether they improve or degrade. Establishing the metrics is sort of the first step. The second step that has to follow very close to that is establishing the baseline, and then periodic review and collection of those statistics over time. In the context of the accountability stuff, I guess I agree strongly with Alan in the sense that the whole issue here is to establish a certain level of credibility. There is a perception among many that ICANN is not accountable, and one of the ways to address that is to sort of measure the areas in which things where accountability matters, and over time show hopefully improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thanks, David. Lisa. And Alan, your hand is up. Is that up anew?
That's a new hand.
Okay, Lisa, and then Alan.
I think if my answer to the first question is that I find metrics is a very important tool to coordinate the expectations from the stakeholders to ICANN, because having accountability and transparency and not having a way of measuring how it's carried out, I think it's better to show we have these ideas of how to measure of our accountability and transparency and how we do it, and then it makes it more obvious for the stakeholders if you comply or not to this. So that's a line with the credibility too, but also a way of giving a tool to kind of make a feedback easier towards ICANN from the stakeholders. That was it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Lisa. Alan?
Thank you. One of the issues that's been mentioned is comparison with other organizations, and in fact my colleague Olivier put in the chat at the very beginning of this session that he thinks comparisons with other organizations is very important. I tend to differ. I think it's a dandy way to raise red flags. If we're much worse than other people have managed to be, that's a good red flag. But I find the kind of argument that has been raised, in fact, in ICANN in regard to, in this instance, how fast we develop policy, that we're faster than other organizations, is a wholly unsatisfying answer. So being worse than everyone is a good red flag. Being better than everyone doesn't prove anything at all. We're in a relatively unique business, as it were, and maybe that can be said for almost everyone, so it makes comparisons different. But if there's a great level of dissatisfaction, and Lisa mentioned expectation setting, and that is certainly part of it, but if there's a great deal of dissatisfaction in the community, then there's a problem. The problem may be that we have to set expectations because they're unreasonable, but simply saying we're better than someone else doesn't really hold a lot of water in my mind. I personally would like to see a de-emphasis of that other than in terms of raising red flags.
Yeah, I could maybe just jump in there because it certainly chimes with some things that I've been chewing over. I will say certainly in some respects, I think ICANN well exceeds the accountability of other kind of similar organisations that I've looked at, although I do think comparison might well raise some red flags, as you said. I think it will be an interesting process for ICANN to compare itself, and I don't think it will simply, well, my intention is that it will not simply be a matter of awarding ICANN 3 out of 5 and the WTO 4 out of 5. I think there needs to be a lot more qualitative comparison that comes with those benchmarks. So finding, okay, maybe they're not doing as well as us, but they're doing certain things a lot better, or they've got an interesting approach to something that we could maybe try or learn from. I think there is some value in that. As I said, however, I think another function of the benchmarks can be to drive forwards ICANN's accountability internally, so that it's the metrics are maybe measuring what ICANN does, but the benchmarks are providing a broader engine behind ICANN's improvement over time.
Thanks, Christina. Jan's hand is up.
Yeah, thank you. I was wondering whether the group, the AETRT, had any thoughts about possible detriments of using metrics and benchmarks. Have you thought about that it might work detrimentally in any way? I'm thinking of a couple of possibilities. One would be that certain quantifications could mask or distract from the quality of the accountability practices. So, for example, you could get nice measures about increased numbers of documents going up, but perhaps there would be even more dense in technical language so that many stakeholders couldn't understand them. So the metric would show that things were getting better, but in fact, in terms of effective transparency, they might be getting worse. Or increased numbers of consultative meetings, but maybe they end up being with far smaller circles of people, so it shows greater numbers of consultative meetings, but in fact there's less consultation. Anyway, just this, those sort of things. Doesn't one have to be very careful? And do measurements necessarily tell everything? Likewise, any danger that you choose metrics in the choice of the 10 to 12 metrics that you might choose, that you choose metrics that are harder or easier to improve upon? Because you could sort of bias the outcome from the start by the metrics that you choose.
Thanks, Jan. I'll react to that for myself and certainly open it up for others. I think all those points that you raised are very important. We wouldn't want biased results through metrics or results that mask the qualitative effect of activities and efforts. My assumption, speaking for myself, is that One World Trust, in providing a report to ICANN staff who will go about the business of identifying and implementing metrics to the review team recommendation implementation going forward, that you would provide them with that expert analysis so that they can take stock of the metrics that they ultimately use and avoid those pitfalls. For me, haven't thought specifically about the detriments, but that's clearly important. For me, again, only what I feel has been is more important, and it echoes some of what you heard from Alan, is in this community there continues to be, in some ways, some serious concern and some suspicion about whether or not ICANN is accountable. Now, that may or may not be true in each instance, but the importance of instituting benchmarks and metrics that are well designed will provide the data to communicate to the community that will allow those suspicions or assumptions to be tested one way or the other. And that's the importance of this. And also, something you said, Christina, got my attention, which is in interviewing the staff, I think your observation was that actually in terms of accountability, that more exists in practice than in policy. And you suggested that that's actually a good thing. And if that's the case, I would suggest that is a good thing. But, however, if that's the case and it's not visible to the community or the practice itself hasn't been measured, then we're still stuck at where we are, and we haven't used metrics to inform the community about the good practices that are taking place. So that's kind of my sense of things here. Anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, yeah, please react to that if you would.
I absolutely agree with you. I think all too often when I work with organizations, there are, you know, reams of policy documents and actually nothing is done on the ground. So my point is the fact that ICANN is actually doing these things is great. I absolutely agree, and it was one of the very first things I noticed about ICANN, that I think a lot of the concerns that stakeholders articulate is because they don't fully understand or appreciate what exactly ICANN is doing or what ICANN means when it says it is being accountable. And I think clearly setting that out, whether it's through an accountability framework or through accountability metrics, as we're now talking about, is a very good way of doing that. And obviously the metrics provide a way of saying, yes, look, this is how we are meeting them this year. And we're improving on this on last year, or we're not improving on last year. But at least, you know, it's allowing people to see at a glance what ICANN is doing. As I said, I think a lot of the metrics are going to be drawing on things that are already being measured by an organisation, by the organisation. But it's going to be presenting them under one clear umbrella of ICANN's accountability. So stakeholder is able to look at a particular web page, for example, and it's there, it's clearly demonstrated. This is what ICANN means by accountability. This is what we're measuring in order to show that we're being accountable.
When you say the community doesn't understand what ICANN has done or is doing, can you put some examples around that or a little more flesh on that thought to get a sense of that, of where you've seen that?
Sure. I mean, I think it can be quite, perhaps speaking from my own experience as someone coming to ICANN, you know, when I very first started creating my overview of what ICANN was doing in terms of accountability, if you're trying to just track things through through what's documented in policy or what you can find on the website, which I think, you know, everybody recognises it can be quite hard to navigate, it's very difficult to get that overview. In terms of specific examples that I've heard through my interviews, I think, I mean, obviously the people that I'm speaking with are very engaged within ICANN, so they maybe are aware of it. But like I said, there are, you know, there's differences of opinions about what accountability actually means. So is accountability about being purely transparent? I had somebody telling me they think ICANN is absolutely 100% accountable because it puts everything up on the website, and I would fundamentally disagree with that, because I think accountability is about far more than just transparency. You have to look at the effectiveness of that transparency, and you also have to look at the other dimensions, as I've mentioned.
Yeah. Alan, please.
Yeah, a couple of things. An expression we've used in ATRT on a regular basis, and it's curious that it hasn't come up in this discussion, is we don't want things where people can simply, quote, tick off the boxes. That yes, they've met a criteria, but it doesn't have any real substantive impact. So picking the right metrics is absolutely critical. And you're right that being transparent is not accountable. There are a number of areas that I could raise, not important each in their own right, but just interesting, where ICANN is completely transparent, but if you look at the substance of what they're being transparent about, you know, they're being completely arbitrary at the same time, you know, with no level of logic behind it, but they're posting it if you can find it. And the other thing I was going to comment on, you said a lot of things are in practice but not policy. Even if things are in policy, if those policies aren't actually followed, it's rather moot. It looks good, but, you know, we have instances where, you know, examples where the board may have made a decision to do something. If you now say, where's the follow-through of ICANN actually doing it, or a red flag being waved that they didn't do it, it's not there. And the other thing is ICANN has a propensity, I think, to say we are completely transparent, everything is posted, but then when you go to look, you find out that, you know, the financial reports haven't been updated since 2010, or someone changed jobs and something else hasn't been done in 4 years or 2 years. And the follow-through sometimes is lacking, and there's no way of tracking that until someone actually complains, and then maybe it gets done.
Okay.
So there's a whole series of things that have to actually happen for this to work. And sometimes ICANN is really good at it, and sometimes it's really bad.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely agree with what you're saying, particularly around, you know, this shouldn't just be tick box exercise. I think that goes back to the point that, that Brian made about, you know, we have to be selecting the metrics that are going to be really useful, that are going to push ICANN forward. I'm sorry, lost my train of thought. And yes, completely agree with you as far as the transparency goes, and the need to be kind of following up on the substance of that. And that commitments and policy absolutely do not make mean that you're doing it in practice. And that was one of the points that I felt when I kind of came to ICANN as well. Okay, a lot more is happening in practice. That's, like I said, that's a better thing than just having a whole load of policies sitting on a shelf and nothing actually happening.
Thanks. We've got Jan's hand is up.
Yeah, just wondering whether the ATRT group have any thoughts about metrics that would differentiate among the types of stakeholders. You see Christina's slide about the different groups of stakeholders. Do you want any differentiation amongst them? I mean, when you have metrics about consultations, for example, the consultations might be quite biased towards certain types of stakeholders. Do you want that differentiated in the metrics, or do you just want general metrics that are telling us about transparency rather than saying transparency to whom, or consultation rather than consultation of whom, or evaluation rather than evaluation by whom, etc.?
It's an interesting question, Jan. I'll again speak only for myself and then open it up. This is Brian. I'm not sure that would be the direction I personally think is the way to go. I assume that there are metrics and metrics tools that are useful in benchmarking and measuring progress in ICANN's implementation of recommendations from this review team and the other review teams. I'm not sure I understand well enough the notion of differentiation of metrics according to stakeholder group. I would assume the goal is for a well-tested metric. And just as by way of an example, the ATRT-1 offered as guidance, it was just a suggestion, we didn't put a firm recommendation that ICANN adopt metrics, but we clearly stated that we thought it was important for the organization to consider that. That review team felt it was ICANN's role to develop the metrics, not a review team made of volunteers who are not experts in that field, but did offer, just as one point of guidance, this the SMART objectives or SMART metrics tool as one tool to look at when building objectives for implementing recommendations. So again, I think notionally there's different metrics and different metrics toolkits out there that I assume One World Trust can identify that ICANN staff can look at and use in a thoughtful way to get the types of measurements that are in fact useful and not detrimental, and that's my view. Anybody else on the review team? Jan, please.
Well, no, just to come back on that, there was a major study of just published by Cambridge University Press about the so-called opening up of intergovernmental organizations to particularly civil society groups. And what they found, or their headline message, was that there was a major opening up by the intergovernmental organizations already prior to the major so-called anti-globalization protests and so on of the late 1990s and early 2000s. And what they didn't do in that study was differentiate between the different stakeholder groups. And once you did that, then you found out that the so-called opening up that preceded the public mobilizations was actually an opening up mainly to think tanks and business groups.
Hmm.
And that the subsequent opening up following the mobilizations was to NGOs and social movements. Anyway, it's just an example of where if you don't differentiate between stakeholders, you can come up with some rather misleading results.
Fair enough. I guess one way to look at it, I think it's important that we keep the clear distinction between transparency and accountability because both are important and both are need to be addressed. And, you know, transparency, there is quite a bit amount of transparency at ICANN. A lot is published. But accountability is also another important factor. And instituting metrics to demonstrate progress and accountability and transparency to the stakeholders, which is what I think you're now referring to, I'm not an expert to the extent that differentiation from that perspective makes a difference, then, you know, my assumption is that One World Trust will be providing solid guidance to ICANN on that front.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're certainly aware of the need to identify the different stakeholder groups and the different requirements that those stakeholders have, and my intention is certainly that the metrics will be reflecting that. I'm a proponent of the SMART approach, and obviously the S is for specific, and I think you need to be very particular about who you are, who the measurement is aimed at. But that will have to be, I mean, we cannot look at every single stakeholder group for every single aspect of accountability, and so it will need to be a matter of selecting who the key groups are for particular issues.
And what I'm hearing, I think, sounds to me from a scientific standpoint important, but needless to say from a political standpoint, I think all of the stakeholders in ICANN are going to believe that ICANN should be equally accountable to all of them, and that there is a, you know, political rat's nest that I'm hearing that we would obviously want to avoid, that one stakeholder group feels as though ICANN has to be accountable to them in a particular way that then opens up hell's gates across the stakeholder groups. Pardon my rough phraseology there.
I think you are right to warn me of that. I mean, as I said, you know, our perspective cannot be accountable to all its stakeholders in an equal way. I understand that might be a politically controversial issue, and perhaps we need to provide clarity about what we mean by that statement and what the implications are of that. So I will certainly watch that rat's nest.
Yeah, I think that would be important to be clear. If that's an important element, then to be very clear about that. The other question that I had, going back to an earlier part of the conversation, and Alan, I see your hand up, is the comparison to other organizations. My own view, and I'm not speaking with my chair hat on, this is just Brian, I think the better focus is ICANN focusing on what its processes are, what its deliverables are, and setting the bar to be the best it can be to implement metrics that allow measurement and communication and understanding of how well it's doing. I also see some risk in the comparing ICANN to other organizations, other than for looking at other organizations to see what metrics, what benchmarks, what processes, what tools have they used. And if they've been effective, are those tools that ICANN itself could use? When you get into comparing ICANN against others in different ways, in ways that make qualitative judgments about how ICANN's doing versus some intergovernmental organization, I also see political risk there that doesn't necessarily address the central question of what we're trying to get at here. That's just my own observation.
Mm-hmm. Brian, I'm really interested to hear that because I have to say I think you echo some of the concerns that Jan and I have discussed and Anita as well. And perhaps I'd then like to put it out to the other members of ATRT and perhaps hear from them on whether they agree or what they think the rationale is behind having benchmarks that compare ICANN against other organizations.
Alan, your hand is up, and then Aubrey.
Yeah, thank you. On 2 points that you just referenced, and I think I'm agreeing on both of them. First of all, with reference to other organizations, there's a whole host of binary measures which I think are important. If everyone else does have a whistleblower program that looks really clean and actually has been used on occasion, that's important if we don't have one. Actually, talking about the metrics and the details, I think is in my mind, of lesser importance. But Brian raised an interesting issue, and as did you, on comparison of stakeholders and treating them differently and having different, perhaps, metrics associated with them. It's an issue which comes up continually in ICANN. Why is the GAC more important than, in my case, ALAC? You know, why do you listen to them and you don't listen to us? Why does the intellectual property people able to move mountains and get you to do things, whereas, you know, people on the other side of the argument, you know, privacy advocates, you pretend your head's in the ground and don't hear. So it's an issue that comes up continually, and there's a huge amount of sensitivity on it. And to the extent that any recommendations are going to end up essentially either advocating or tacitly accepting the fact that there are inequalities between the various stakeholder groups, I think has to be done carefully and explained. Thank you.
Yeah, Alan, I'd maybe just like to... I'm really sorry. Can I answer this question?
Of course. Please, Christina. Yeah.
Thank you. I would like to clarify, obviously I have picked up that the GAC is given perhaps more status or paid more attention to than other stakeholder groups. I'm not saying that that is right. What I am saying is that if ICANN decides that that is the right approach that it wants to take, it needs to provide a clear explanation and justification for that. And I think I would hope, in the process of being made to explain why it does that, it might accept that actually it needs to be placing greater emphasis on the other stakeholder groups. I think asking if it's being realistic. Yeah.
Aubrey.
Hi. I sort of agree, in effect, have argued that we need to do metrics that are specific to ICANN. I think there is also value in some metrics that point outside. Perhaps it's similar to what Alan said, but really in each of those cases of using them, you would have to show why it's analogous. And that becomes the difficult part of trying to take organizations, for example, ISO and ICANN, which are, you know, very different in their forms of multi-stakeholder model, and to show that you actually have an analogous situation so that the metric does compare. So I think you have to deal with that issue when you start comparing outside, but I think that sometimes it can be the right thing to do. Especially if one really stands up as obvious. And I understand the distinction that was being made in terms of metrics that are applicable to one stakeholder group but perhaps another, without that making them unequal. But basically, they are different in their equality. Now, their treatment may be different, and perhaps those metrics will show why that treatment is different, but there's always that things that are equal are not always the same, and so sometimes if you want to measure something that's equal but different, you need to look at it differently. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Any other hands?
Brian, this is Larissa, and I know I apologize for confusing everybody in the room because I'm operating under Sharla's login.
That's right. Hi, Sharla. I'm Larissa.
Sharla's actually not on the line, so I am Sharla today. But I do have a question for Jan and for Christina, given your experience of dealing with other organizations that are in a similar place as ICANN, looking to establish something meaningful and measurable and specific, and yet being concerned about measuring the wrong thing. And striking that perfect balance between quantitative data and qualitative assessment, how would you, what have you seen as best practices? How would you propose that I can approach this quandary given where we are in our process of establishing benchmarks and metrics?
Larissa, I think my sense on this is that you cannot get an apolitical metric. No matter what you do, the metrics are going to favor certain answers and outcomes relative to others, and they are going to bring out certain aspects, and they're going relatively to mask certain other things. So I think you when you do these, put together these metrics and benchmarks, you have to just acknowledge that, yes, inevitably it's going to put the spotlight in one place rather than another place, and just be conscious and clear that that's what you're doing. But you are making choices when you do so, and I think Alan's point that, you know, there are going to be sensitivities, it's probably unavoidable. No matter what metric we put out, somebody's going to say, it doesn't favor me. And it is a quandary. And I don't think there's actually an answer. In this sense, these sorts of things are not scientific in the sense of apolitical.
Thank you, Jan. Any other questions or comments? Looking for hands. Christina, let's talk about the calendar. I thought I heard you say that your target was to deliver a report the week before the Christmas holiday.
Mm-hmm. So the date that I've agreed with Larissa and her team is for the final submission of the report by the 20th of December. Now, prior to that, on the 2nd of December, we will be submitting the draft metrics and benchmarks and also the draft implementation plan, so that there is a two-week opportunity, slightly more than 2 weeks, opportunity there for comments to be received and for us to respond to those comments.
Okay, and hopefully we'd be able to get a copy of that on the review team as well to provide any feedback we might have.
I certainly wouldn't have a problem with that if Larissa and Denise are happy for that. What I would caution, though, is from prior experience, comments by committee can be extensive, and so I would encourage you to try and perhaps be concise.
Summarize or...
Summaries would be great, and also recognize that we're not going to be able to be all things to all men, and so we will have to make judgments about which comments are really useful and pick up on very useful factors that we perhaps haven't thought about. And which comments we just have to kind of, you know, accept but move on from.
And that's fine. If I can opine, and if anybody from the review team feels differently, please do speak up. I don't view, you've engaged with ICANN staff, and I don't view the review team as directing your work in any way, shape, or form. Our primary concern is that we need to present a report to the Board of Directors by December 31st. The week of December 9th is really our cutoff date for any inputs for us to be able to work them into our final report. So if you have a draft on December 2nd, that timing is quite good. And at the same time, whatever we offer in our report about the issue of metrics, I think it's important that it be informed by what your approach is, that we have a clear understanding so we can offer something meaningful back to the board as well. So if we can get a copy of that report on the 2nd, then that would be very helpful to our work. And we would absolutely work to provide you any feedback in as manageable a form as we can.
Brian, this
great.
Is Larissa.
Thank you very much.
I also wanted to make sure that the review team was aware that there will be a presentation in Buenos Aires. Christina and her team will be presenting updated information on, I believe it's the 20th, November 20th, which is, you know, full almost 3 weeks from this point. So we expect that there will be considerably more work progress and findings, and the purpose of this call was to give an opportunity to the review team to have a productive engagement, which hopefully Christina and Jan have been able to give you enough substance and the other way around as well to give you a better roadmap as to how this work is progressing. But on the 20th of November, there will be even more information, more direction, and I would encourage and invite everybody to participate in that update. And certainly staff will continue to provide updates and share information as it becomes available.
That's great. Is that a public session?
Absolutely.
Terrific. We certainly should attend that, whoever can, who doesn't have a conflict in the review team, and you know, hopefully we'll get a number of folks from the community into the room as well to provide direct feedback from their perspective, too. That's very good. Okay, I think we have a workable calendar in terms of our work in parallel, from what I've heard. Yeah, I'm just looking at Avery's note. I don't. Do we have a conflict on ATRT meetings with the session on the 20th? Could you check that, Larissa, to make sure we don't, or if we do, we're aware of it. And
yes, I'll check that out. Absolutely.
Thanks. Okay. Good question. I want to come back and ask one more follow-on, and we still have a little more time. So if anybody from the review team wants to ask a question, please do. Jan, you made a statement in your last contribution. To the effect that, I'm just reducing it, that all metrics are political. Is that genuinely your view? Are there any metrics that are just kind of, you know, metrics and measurements and they spit out data that, are you saying that the interpretation of the data from metrics is always political, or that the metric itself, the benchmark, the tool itself, is somehow political in every case?
Well, I think in every case there is always another metric that you could have chosen. And there's always a relative emphasis amongst the metrics that you do. And there's always a selection of one type of measurement rather than another, except, for example, you might have a very good to satisfactory to poor type of measurement, or you might have a 0 to 100 measurement. All of those inevitably will be taken one way rather than another, and inevitably different stakeholders, as Alan was mentioning, will look and use those metrics and benchmarks in their own particular politics that they wage vis-a-vis ICANN. The idea that you're going to have certain metrics, I think you were saying at the beginning that, you know, you would get a certain set of metrics which would settle once and for all whether there should or be concerns or suspicions about ICANN's accountability. I don't think you're going to get that kind of metric. Someone can always say, oh, the metric should have been different, or the metric should have paid more attention to me. I just can't imagine a metric that is going to avoid those kinds of struggles. You can do it well, you can do it consciously, you can do it precisely, you can do it carefully, you can do it explicitly, mm-hmm. and you can let everyone know exactly what you're doing, and that would be a very transparent metric, as it were, and you can think very carefully, Christina, I, and you as you give us advice, what are the political implications of doing it in this way rather than that way, and then make very specific and explicit and conscious political choices as we do it. But the idea that, and Christina knows this from the One World Trust's own Global Accountability Project. They came up with various metrics and measurements and comparisons of organizations, and each one of their reports that came out generated very healthy debate. But there were debates. No one would ever agree that the numbers were true, right?
Yep, I can back that up. Jan is absolutely right. And I think what is important is that you receive the input and that you consider it and perhaps, if necessary, respond to it. But at the end of the day, you have to pick something, and I do agree with Jan, there will always be other metrics that you could have chosen.
Okay, David Conrad is typing. Did you want to make an intervention? Okay, you're not. Okay. Anybody else from the review team? I think we've had a good full discussion. We've got a little bit of time, but I have no problem stopping before the half hour is up if there's no other contributions. Last call for hands. Let me close it this way. Christina and Jan, is there anything you need from the review team or would be helpful from the review team in your work?
Oh, aside from having all of your brains, you know, on plates in front of me so I can probe them fully, no, I mean, I've had an opportunity to speak to some of you individually. I think this conversation has been very helpful and in terms of kind of raising issues that you're aware of when we're going about developing the metrics and the benchmarks. So I'd just like to thank you all for taking the time to speak to me. As Larissa said, we'll be providing substantially more updates during the Buenos Aires conference. And at that stage, we should have some kind of idea of what some of these metrics might be or what they might look like, what they might be measuring. And I look forward to presenting that to you then and receiving some feedback again.
Okay, terrific. Well, thank you, Christina. Thank you, Jan. Very much, very interested in the work you're doing. Looking forward to seeing you in Buenos Aires and getting you some feedback on your draft in December. If there's anything you need from us, just signal that to Larissa, and we're at your disposal. And Larissa, thank you for setting this up. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
We'll close the call. Thanks, everyone, for attending, and we'll see you all in Buenos Aires.